Don't fall, don't fall, don't fall. I was picturing the whole time myself falling, but I'm good. Praise God. My children are back at school, so those of you who know me, Prisca's back at college. She's in her senior year. I'm really happy. She needs to get out of my house. It's true. That's how God created her, and she needs to go. The 17-year-old is a senior at Abundant Life Academy, and I'm so sorry to all the Abundant Life teachers because he's done. He was dressed the first day in his uniform. After that, I don't know what happens. We're good, but he's a senior, and he knows it. My other son, Joaquin, he's a sophomore, and he's Joaquin, and Sophia's here, and she's in seventh grade, and I'm honored to be here. I have been in Christian education for 23 years. Actually, I'm starting my 24th year. Woo, you guys are wooing, and I'm tired. And that's all God. I wanted to be a doctor. I was accepted to Rutgers pre-med bio, and I visited the University of Valley Forge. And when I got there, God said, you're going to be here. And I said, okay, I guess. But I didn't think I was going to be a teacher, and the first job that was offered to me after college, aside from being a youth pastor, was being a teacher. And the rest is history, as they say, and that's what I've been doing. Now I'm in Newark. I run a preschool, as those some of you know, and Newark is Newark. And I have Newark stories, and if you want to hear them, we could talk about that after. Sometimes my family goes, are you in the nice part of Newark? And I just laugh, and then there's no more stories, because unless you've visited or been from or anything like that, there it is. But today I have the honor of speaking not only to the students and everyone going back to school, but also to the grandparents, right? Because it's Grandparents Sunday. And I love that my daughter is not like me. Thank God that God gave me a daughter that is like super sweet and super kind and remembers these types of things, because without me saying anything, she texted her grandma this morning and she's like, Happy Grandparents Day. And I was like, who raised you? Like, I was really proud. I was so proud because I don't remember these things. That it's just not my thing, but I was really proud of her. And she doesn't get $5 for that, for those of you who know, they use my child in a sermon story. So I'm just, again, thankful to be here. I love that you have, your leadership is set. You have blue and green now. You have a new logo. God is doing things here. I'm very excited for you. So let's go. Let's go. Get the word of God out for me. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to live in Ephesians chapter 6, but we're going to visit some other areas today. And while you're getting Ephesians chapter 6 out, I prefer a paper Bible, but I put it down there for now. While you're going to Ephesians chapter 6, I'll tell you a little bit about my grandparents. I've had the privilege of having three sets of grandparents. My mother remarried, so I got another set of grandparents. But in this message, you're going to hear a little bit about my abuela. My abuela was Petra. Well, that's how we say it in America, right? Petra Josefa Rivera. But Petra Rivera was my grandmother. When she came to America, she picked her American name, Josefa. Petra Josefa. Yeah, so we could have kept Petra, but she kept Josefa because she thought that would be a much more American name. My grandfather's name is either Justo or Julio, but they picked an American name and he picked either Justo or Julio. So I actually don't know which his real name is. It's one of the two, but that's what they did. They would come from Puerto Rico and pick a more American name. I don't think they got like the memo on how to do that. I probably should have had a grandfather named Dave or something, but I did have my grandmother Josefa or Fefa, and you're going to hear how her influence brought me to where I am today and how her influence prepares me every day for back to school and how her influence prepares my children every day for back to school. So Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 18. Let's read along. I'm reading from the NIV, I think. from the NIV version. That's what's down there. That was my grandmother's dress. I took it out of my closet. I keep it in my closet to remind myself. She's no longer with us. None of my grandparents are, but this woman made an impact in my life, and she made me the person I am today. And that word of God right there is my college Bible that is highlighted tremendously, and that's because of some of the things she's taught me. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the real one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being a good God. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for all that you're doing in this church and in the people here. Lord, today we're going to lift up our grandparents and our students and our teachers. Lord, I ask that the things that are said from here would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. I put myself aside. Lord, would you please speak in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. So I thought this was a back-to-school service, so I had a message prepared. And then Sister Sandy and Brother Barnes, Pastor Barnes, said, oh, and also the grandparents. And I said, for sure, I'm just going to stay with that other message. And God said, no, you need to tell them about your grandmother. And I thought, okay. In my life, I always wondered how my husband was such a great speaker. He's not here. You should have him come, I promise. He's much more put together than I am. He likes to do his sermons with the same letter for the points. So I asked him last night, I said, what is your sermon starting with this week? The letter C? He said, how did you know? I said, it's about time. And for me, when I asked God, why can't I preach like him? He said, because I've given you stories and I want you to tell them. So here's the story of Abuela. I was raised by her until I was about 9 years old. So I grew up in the projects of, we call it Baruch. The fancy gentrified call it Baruch now. There's no such thing as Baruch projects. There's no such thing. Back in the 70s and 80s, they were the Baruch projects. I grew up with my grandmother there until about fourth grade when my mother remarried and I moved to the hood of Staten Island. But I always remain New Yorican because of my abuela. I spent even later many, many years with my grandmother in her apartment that she refused to give up no matter how many times I tried to move her to Bayonne. She refused to move. So she lives on the 8th floor of the Baruch Projects. I won't tell you the numbers so that my identity does not get stolen. I'm just kidding. But there was not a morning in my entire lifetime with my grandmother that I did not see her at her chair in the morning on her knees before God praying. There was not a morning, I do not remember a day that I woke up and Abuela stayed in bed. I do not remember a day that I woke up and Abuela was in the kitchen before she had prayed. And I'm not talking about the cute bless my kids prayer. I'm talking about on her knees, dressed and ready for the day, in a dress similar to that until she got older where she wore like a bata, like a robe thing. She wore something like that every single day on her knees in prayer for hours. The TV did not go on until Abuela was done praying. And when she was done praying, she turned around, because she prayed on her knees, she turned around, sat in her seat, and opened up her Word of God. Every single day, I do not remember a day that my grandmother did not pray or read the Bible, and that's how she started, and she filled every single one of her days. We often had to memorize scripture as well. That was part of growing up on Abuela's house. Like, I wanted to go live with my mom because my mom didn't have those kinds of rules. But me and Abuela, we would memorize scripture every day. We were in church every single day of the week. On Sunday, we were in church 2 or 3 times. We did not go home. We would go from Sunday school to church, go to the pizzeria on the corner on Clinton and Delancey. Clinton? Let me see. Stanton? I don't remember. It's one of those. There are so many of them. We would eat pizza and turn around and walk back to church and sit back down. And we would be there all day. Church was closed on Monday, but we were not off on Monday, because we were on the streets evangelizing. So there was me and my grandmother in our skirts, giving out tratados and tracts on Monday. We were in church every single day. We memorized scripture on a regular basis. I love this because they would give us a tema, which means theme. So this week's theme is fe. This week's theme is faith. Okay, now we're going to go look up 15 verses on faith, and we're going to memorize them. Just in case Hermana Nieves picks number 1, we can pick number 5. And we had them. That was life for me. That was the example that was set for me by my grandmother. Those rules were sometimes challenging, but you could never challenge her faith. Her faith was to be revered and admired. And I pray that the same thing happens to my grandchildren, that when they come over in the mornings — I don't have grandchildren yet, we're good — but when they come over in the mornings, that they will go to their mom and go, "She's praying. She's reading the Bible again. She made us memorize scripture again." If the Lord allows such a blessing, if he allows me those years, I pray that I will be like my grandmother. Each day, my grandmother modeled putting on the full armor of God. And that's point number 1. Every day that you go to school, guys, youth — I see you all clustered today. Look at you. All in the same section. Number 1. Put on the full armor of God. My grandmother modeled that every single day. Every day she would put on the full armor of God. She spoke so often about the spiritual realm, I thought I knew el enemigo, like, personally. El enemigo in Spanish means the enemy. My grandmother talked about that enemy so much, like we were on a name-to-name basis. Me and el enemigo, like, I knew him and I knew how to stay away from him because I had the full armor of God on. She made the spiritual realm so real to me that I knew that I had to be ready every single day, because you never knew when el enemigo was going to show up. He's going to show up everywhere. We didn't really talk about streets of gold and heaven and grace. We talked about el enemigo. Aquí viene. Almost like el cuco, but it was real. It was real. So el cuco is some kind of weird creature that they made up, and it's not real. But el enemigo is real. And so my grandmother taught me that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. She made it very real to me that I had to put on my armor of God, because the enemy was out there. I'm telling you guys, every day that you go to school, the enemy is there. I don't care if you go to Christian school or not. Christian school or public school, I've been in Christian education for 23 years. I see things. I've been visiting public schools because I'm trying to do a master's in something. Pray for me. I see things. And because Abuela trains me from very young to see things from a spiritual aspect, when I walk into some people's classrooms, I'm like, yo, there's stuff going on in here. I'm not a Harry Potter fan, but I don't bash things like that. But I did see that there have been Harry Potter-themed schools to interest the children in reading. That's brujería. Abuela will be running over in her grave. She'd be going, el enemigo está aquí. The enemy is here. I know, abuela. I get it. Harry Potter, we're not going to fight that battle. You work that out with your parents. It's not a battle we fight in our house, because we don't fight battles in my house. We have rules. You could amen, and we could talk about some rules if you need them. I'll type them out for you. I have one. I have a set of rules hanging by my TV right now. Number one, devotions. Before this TV goes on, do your devotions, right? What else is on there? Clean your room. Summer homework. Yeah, okay. Whether your children are in public schools or Christian schools, we have to buy them uniforms, right? That's usually like the most expensive thing. The ALA uniform sometimes ranks. Once they get older, it's not as expensive. When they're younger, it was a lot. But my kids go to public school too. Those uniforms are so expensive. But there's one uniform that's way more important, and I've already explained. It's the armor of God. Each day, we have to teach our children to put on God's uniform. We've often heard that we are to be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, el enemigo, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour. That's 1 Peter 5:8. When your child enters the school system every single day, they are a target of new philosophies and teachings. The school system is no longer just a place of education where you thought you were sending your child to read and write. It's a place of child rearing. Mind changing in all aspects of life. I tell you the truth. I've been there. I see it. I've seen curriculum, and I'd love to speak more on this topic, but we could be here a very long time. I'd just rather focus on the one who's in us and the one that's in this world. My grandmother and I, we would walk alone through an alleyway near our junior high school. Those of you who know Baruch, junior high school, 22 at the time. We would walk there around 7 o'clock at night, me and my abuela, and we would walk back home after 11 o'clock. We walked every single day without fear because she knew who she served and whose armor she was wearing every day. I never, ever, ever remember feeling afraid of walking with my 5'5", 110-pound grandmother. I never, ever felt afraid. She wore her armor so well because she knew it was the first thing to put on in the morning. Our children can wear the same armor every day. They can walk into school triumphantly knowing that according to Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Students, you need to put your armor on every single day. The enemy is out there and he wants to destroy. He knows that he has an end time and he wants to take as many people as he can with him. So every morning, put on your full armor. That's what my grandmother taught me. Another thing I told you before, she taught us Bible memorization. I told you about Hermana Nieves. It was just how we did in church. The Pastor Barnes would get up and go, and next week the theme is whatever, and we would really sit down and we would go through the Bible. Before that there was Google, and we would have to look up all the verses that we could find that had the word faith or sin. Oh, geez, that was a little bit easier. But we would have to look up all of these verses. And my grandmother, she would write them down in these little notebooks. When she passed away, I would go through her things and I would actually find notebooks full of themas and verses and all of these things that we used to memorize when we were little, but she never stopped. Ephesians 6:7 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We purchased our children backpacks. We get them JanSports. It took me a long time to get them all JanSports. Like, I would buy one every year. Did you know that if a JanSport breaks, they will replace it for free? Praise the Lord. Whew. So we buy them these super strong backpacks. It took us about 4 years. We would buy one a year or two a year. I would try to find coupons. I was a maniac. JanSport doesn't give coupons, but they do refunds, so I'm happy. But we get them these strong ones because they have these like 98-pound science books. Sometimes they give you the e-book, but sometimes it's really the still 1967 version of the book. Sometimes they have to carry three or four of those, and their backpacks are really heavy, but there's one textbook that your students need to carry every single day, and it doesn't weigh anything because they hide it in their hearts. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your kids are going to be reading some things that are going to shape their minds and shape their hearts. In Christian school, it'll be a little bit easier, not always easier, because sometimes they try to pick their own books. But in Christian school, you get a certain assignment of books. It's usually not bad. But when they go to public school, teachers are very well educated, and so they're taught all of these books in universities that are great for the children. I've read some of these books. I am one of those parents that has watched every single show my kid has watched. I will shut off a TV show in the middle of a show, no matter how far into Arrow we are. The Flash, Supergirl, or anything else that is on the television, I will shut it off in a heartbeat. But I will also watch what my kids are absorbing. My kids went into Percy Jackson books for a while. All right, fantasy, not very contrary to God's word. Maybe we'll stick with these. And then those were for fun. But then my son brought home a book from school on purpose that he had to read and write a book report on. And I said, can I see that book? I said, we're going to have to make a decision here. I won't tell you which son, the one that's in public school. I'm going to let you read this book, but your devotional life better be very rich during the time that you are reading this book. Your Bible reading has to be just on task and just as deep as you're reading this book is. The amount of garbage that was in that book, and I'm not talking about legalistic, oh my gosh, she wore pants kind of stuff. I'm talking about what are these kids reading? Curse words and things that they can be doing and relationship things. And I was like, I pay taxes for this. Yes, I do. As a parent, I can be an advocate. I can go into the school. I can make a huge scene. I can get the book taken away. I can get the book changed. I can make my son a mark at one of the most difficult times of his life when he's trying to fit in. Or at that time, I let him fill his heart with the Bible, and then read this stupid book. And I will call it a stupid book. It was garbage. And from time to time, they will hide those books from me because they know, Mommy's going to go on a rant now. And sometimes they'll do it on purpose. They'll go, look what book I'm reading. I know, you just want to hear the story and the rant. Your children should be filling their hearts with the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Those books are giving your children permission to try things out that you would never allow in your house. And they're saying it's totally okay. Your friends are doing it. It's totally fine. But God's word says something different. So when you pack your child's school bag every morning with a 97-pound textbook, make sure that your child's heart is filled with the ultimate textbook, and that is the word of God. My grandmother taught me that. We memorized scripture. Okay, sometimes it was a little petty because we wanted to beat out Hermana Nieves. It doesn't matter, though, because the scripture stayed. The word of God never returns void. Everything that your children will learn from the word of God, they will bring it back to remembrance. Teenagers, what was point number one? Teenagers, point number one, put on the armor. One guy, the guitar dude, good job. Okay. Point number two, what are we filling our hearts with? The word of God. Was it the guitar dude again? You can't answer anymore. Oh, okay. Brown shirt dude. Hi, good job. Good job. That was good. Filling their hearts with God's word. They need to block out the nonsense. I'm telling you, it's very hard being a student. You know, as adults, I don't forget what it was like being a teenager. It's one of the things I do because I'm a youth pastor. I really do remember often what it's like to be a teenager. But I'll tell you what. We like to say, we had it hard too. It was tough for us too. We used to walk 49 miles both ways, uphill, impossible. Okay. These kids are going through something you have never seen in your entire life. The Bible says the world is getting wickeder and wiser. So if you think that you were going through this when you were their age, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to disagree with you, but they are going through things you have not yet seen. The internet is full of things that if you are not aware of what your children are looking at or what they're doing or what they have access to, you will be shocked. I can't even watch Fortnite with my kids. I walked in there. I said, who is cursing like that? Because they know me in the house. You know, they're like, mommy, why are you so dramatic? I don't know. Why are you like you are? I don't know. Stop playing Fortnite. It was the kid my son was playing online with. Say goodbye before mommy shuts it off and you lose your kill. I have to go now. My mom is home. Nah. The stuff that they have access to, that's just a joke because I know that you will pay attention to me when I say Fortnite. Yes. But I'm saying that the things that they have access to and the things that they're being bombarded with, things that you used to hide in paper bags under your bed or sneak out of your father's drawer, are free on the internet as pop-ups. Free for men and women. And for the girls, where they did not struggle with those things before, it is now the growing thing among girls, 12 to 18, is the same thing that boys used to deal with when they were 11. Now girls deal with things that they never dealt with before because Satan is out to ruin your children and he will rewire their brains because of what he is throwing at them. I've been in education a long time. It is getting worse and worse and worse. And so you have got to prepare your children for school. Number three. So number one is, oh, I heard it again. No more answering for you, but good job. And number two, filling your heart with God's word. Number three, my grandmother modeled her salvation in front of me. She rarely spoke about her past. Like, I speak about my past from time to time because I don't want my kids to do stupid things, but they're really doing their own stupid things at this point. They really are. It's fine. So, like, I knew that our family worked in a sugarcane field. I knew that my grandmother had a strict father and a strict upbringing. But from time to time, I would notice the faint marks of earrings. Now, in the Spanish Pentecostal church, there are no earrings. You will go to hell if you're wearing earrings. Apparently, that's in a very special version of the Spanish Pentecostal Bible, that if you wear earrings, you will go to hell. Also, if you wear pants or if you dye your hair. I was out of Bible college and I had gotten these beautiful blonde streaks. Another pastor's wife told me they look like ribbons in my hair, and I was like, thank you. My grandmother said, did God say you could put that in your hair? And I said, everybody wears color in their hair. She didn't say another word. She goes, you want to go to church with me tonight? And I said, oh, of course, because I'm like, Abuela's so proud of me because I just got out of Bible college and she's going to take me to church with her and show me off to all her friends. Look at my granddaughter. She just came out of Bible college. She has blonde highlights. That woman brought me to the altar for salvation. To the altar. Oh, I'm not playing. I sat there through that service. I was like, oh, this is a good service. Praise the Lord. I got there at 7, 8, 9, 10. Hallelujah. 10:30, 10:40. Oh, it's altar time now. Tanya, ven conmigo. Tanya, come with me. And I'm like, oh, maybe she needs me to pray for someone because, you know, I'm so spiritual now. I went to Bible college. No. She walked me up to the pastor. Ore por ella. Pray for her. I was like, what? You think I'm joking. If she was here, she'd go, sí, así fue. That's how it was. I took her to the altar. She prayed for me that night because she thought for sure I was going to hell. My husband showed up at the house one time and he had like a beard, a goatee. Apparently that's in the Bible too somewhere, that men cannot wear goatees or beards. so also my husband, a Bible college graduate, she goes, how do you think you're going to get into heaven with that beard? But my husband, he's so much smarter than me. He goes, the same way Jesus did. Right? Don't use that, though. Don't use that against your grandma. Because you go to hell. That's right. That's what. Oh, you know. You grew up with me? Yes, you must have. Because that's what happens when you talk back to grandma. La chancla. Oh, I do that in youth. See, now they're talking about la chanclas, and let's not get too distracted, but in my youth group, all of my African-American youth group with no Hispanics in it, when my son does something wrong, they're like, ooh, your mom gonna get you a la chancla. Well, la chancla, she gonna get you a la chancla. Yes, but we do that. I'm not joking. Sometimes I wear flip-flops to church. So one time I saw those earring marks, and I wondered, because, you know, she was very strict. We were not allowed to do any of that stuff in the house. We weren't allowed to wear pants, dye our hair, anything like that when we were younger. And I said, Abuela, did you have earrings? We don't talk about that. She just wasn't about living in that past. She was just talking about salvation. She would just want to talk to me about what God had done for her, what he saved her from, and how she was moving forward. Salvation was the priority, not what Abuela had done in the past. Salvation was what she was trying to instill in me. She wanted me to be saved. My grandmother, I'm sure of it, prayed me into the kingdom. Now, I don't think that God looked at her one day and was like, oh my gosh, please, fine, she's in. Stop praying already! I'm sure that's not how it worked, because I, at some point, actually had to say, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. It has to be about you. And that was my turning point. And I was little. I was 11 when I became a Christian. I did suffer later when I hit my teenage years. It was rough for a few years there. But I will never think that I'm going through what you're going through. That's all. That's too much. But I remember that being the priority for her was that her family would be saved. See, sometimes our priorities for sending our kids back to school are as if they're wearing the right Nikes. Or my son right now is into like the Nike bag and the UGG slippers. Yeah, public school, that's like the thing, right? So everyone has this Nike bag and the UGG slippers. If my grandmother was around, she's like, but do you have Jesus? You might have the right sneakers, the right bag, the right uniform, but do you have Jesus? Grandparents model that. Parents model that. Model what it's like to be saved and put the old past behind you. That should be their greatest course of study when they go to school, is their salvation. I didn't make it into heaven because of Abuela's coattails or her bata buttons, you know, like she had her little bata. I didn't get in because of her, but I got in because of the example that she set before me, that her salvation was her everything. She had a past, but her future was in Christ. And that's what we need to model to our children is salvation. Jesus needs to be their greatest course of study. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you. I love that Timothy became a Christian because his grandmother passed it on to his mother, and his mother passed it on to him. Yeah, they didn't. Timothy didn't make it into heaven because his grandmother and his mom were real cool with Jesus. He made it in because salvation was his course of study. And so teenagers, salvation needs to be your course of study. Children, you need to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And that right now is the most important thing that you will ever learn. Every song this morning talked about God's power and about Jesus. You get to know that Jesus and study him more than some of the other things you're studying. And I'll tell you that even your grades will start to fall into place. When you put Christ first, everything else falls into place. And lastly, my grandmother modeled prayer. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. My grandmother prayed over everything. There was nothing too small or too big for prayer. Even when I was in college, I was a freshman. I came to her one day and I said, I met someone. She's like, oh, I know. How do you know? Well, I have been praying for your husband for a very long time, and one day I just stopped, so I just knew that God had provided you your husband. I was like, that is prayer. She modeled prayer in front of me. She prayed blessings over me. I don't know, in Puerto Rican culture, we do this thing called bendición, bendición, right? So, bendición, tío, bendición, tía, abuela. So, what is that? So, I'm asking for a blessing, like I'm almost begging for a blessing. So, you go up to an elder in your family and you go, please bless me. And they turn around and they're like, I give you a blessing. Yes? Te doy la bendición, right? So, my grandmother did that for me. She prayed over me. She didn't do it in the very traditional way. It wasn't like that. That's a very traditional thing in our culture, Dominican culture as well. But with Christ, it's such a powerful tool because she would just pray over me. I send my children to school prayed over every morning. I pray for them at night when they're sleeping because they're quiet. But I pray scriptures over them. I found a sheet, I'll leave it here if you want. I didn't want to reinvent the wheel, but I pray different scripture over each of them because all four of my children are going through something every single day, right? So I will remember a scripture that I memorized and go, oh, this child needs this prayer today. And so, Lord, I pray this scripture over this child. We had 5 days off last year, not because of snow. We had 5 days off because of real threats to the schools. Both in the Christian school and the public school, we had about 5 days combined. And so look, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Wisdom, your child is in a difficult situation, you pray James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without a reproach and it will be given him. Hang this by your door when your child is going out and pray a scripture over them. Sometimes I have no idea what to say because I'm full of jokes and my kids are like, that's so annoying. But God gives me scripture to pray over them. He gives you scripture, protection. This is every day when my children walk to school. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. There's direction, provision, courage. You ever, your children are in a bad situation, pray over them that God will make them courageous. In the Message version of the same verses we were just reading in Ephesians chapter 10, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, it rewords it. It does a little paraphrase and it goes, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and your sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one else falls behind or drops out. And I have to go back to this part. Again, from the Message version, you're up against far more than you can handle on your own. That quirky little phrase that says, God will never give you more than you can handle, is a load of garbage that you cannot find in the Bible. That does not exist in God's word. God says, I will give you all of this stuff because I want you to rely on me. Talk to me, and I'll handle it for you. Oh, he's going to give you more than you can handle. He might give you four kids. He gave me four kids. I can't handle it. Ask them. They know. Sometimes I sit in my car and I'm like, I don't know what to do with you guys. I just don't know. We pray. You have to pray. You're a teacher in here. God's going to give you more than you can handle. He's going to give you 28 more than you can handle. And if you have 6 classes a day, he might give you 146 you can't handle. I don't care how much education you have. I got a lot of education. I can't handle it. I sit at my desk and I'm like, Lord, what do I do now? You said if I pray for wisdom, you'll give it to me. And then there's wisdom. God is going to give you more than you can handle, but you better put that armor of God on every single day, and you better pray in the Spirit. I love that your pastor is walking around, and all I hear is him praying in tongues. He's praying in his spiritual language. He is fighting against principalities, powers, and rulers of this dark world just by walking around. He doesn't know what he's saying, but God knows, and that spiritual realm sure does know. And in your house and in your classroom and your students. Hey, guys, you should be working on being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Work on that. I'll come back. I'll check in. I owe everything, everything, all that I am to my grandmother's faith and her modeling, like Lois and Timothy. Now, my children reap the benefits of the treasure of faith that she gave me. It's far more important as a parent that I equip my children with the right tools for school. They have their uniforms and they have their school bags. I did not buy Nike anything. They asked for those things for Christmas. I refused to purchase those things. Now they have jobs and they can purchase their own if they really want them. But I will only purchase necessities. They can purchase the fancy stuff. If you want it, you'll work for it. So I will buy them the strongest school bag. I will even buy their tissues for their teachers and their hand sanitizers. You're welcome. That's a pre-K teacher right there. Clorox wipes for the win. But I will model before my children the armor of God, and I will bless the heck out of them. I'm not sure if you're allowed to say heck from the pulpit. Abuela would say no. Abuela used more than that. Those were the years when DCPMP was not as around. I had a choice of belts, and it was the 80s. Just saying, we had little metal belts. Whew. But I will model for them. I will model for them what was modeled for me. And grandparents, would you model for them what it's like to get up in the morning and do nothing else but put on either your fancy dress or your bata, depending on your age. You earn a bata after a certain age, I'm just saying. You put that on, get on your knees, and let your family hear you praying for them. Let them see that the Word of God is more important than the crossword puzzle or the newspaper. For me, it's Facebook. I am a Facebook fanatic. I am trying to find a 12-step program. But I need to model for my children and my grandchildren, my future ones, that this is how you start your day. This is how you put on your armor of God, that you fill your heart with God's word, and that you pray all the time. I want my kids to be sick of me praying for them. I want them to go, oh, she's praying again. Yes, I'm praying again, because God, he's going to let us be in situations that we cannot handle so that we can rely on him. I want that long white streak that my grandmother had. I look forward to it. I always looked at it like it was her crown of wisdom. Proverbs 16, verse 31 says, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. So I'm working on it. I don't dye my hair. I refuse. Because these white hairs, man, I've earned them. And by the time I get much older, I hope I have that stereotypical thing happening right there. Because I remember looking at my grandmother going, she is full of wisdom. And one day I pray that I will wear my bata at the feet of Jesus, that I will have earned it. Psalm 103, verse 17 says, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Grandparents, you have a great task. Parents, we have a great task. Teachers, you know what? It's too much for us to handle. So we're going to pray. But every morning, teenagers, what do we put on? Yes. What do we fill our hearts with? I forgot my third point. What is it? Ah, green shirt for the win. Salvation is your child's priority. It's your priority for your children, salvation. And, okay, no more teenagers. I know, because you want all the bonus points. What must we do constantly? Pray for them. Pray, 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 pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Why don't you stand? Let me change your...